Let us bow again in a quick word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this day, and I pray that you will anoint my lips that I may speak your word to your people and to everyone here for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. The resurrection is the most important event in the history of mankind. Because without the resurrection of Christ, there is no hope for anyone to be restored to what God has created us for in the beginning, and that is to be with Him. Many people are asking, why am I here on earth? Well, we are all here on earth to live with God, to worship Him, and to serve Him. So let us say a few things about the resurrection. My key text this morning is from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was at Lazarus's tomb, and he was speaking to Lazarus's sister, who did not understand that the resurrection was actually standing there before her. So Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So in this passage that I just read here, there are three things that we should keep in mind of what Jesus says. First of all, he makes an assertion of himself. Secondly, he gives a promise to those who believe. And thirdly, he asks a personal question that must have a response. But before I come to these, I would like to say a few things about the resurrection. Let me begin by saying that there are many people today and in the past who have a problem with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people do not believe in the resurrection. And so they came up with various theories as to what actually happened to Jesus Christ when he was in the tomb. Yes, they believe the tomb is empty, but they don't believe that he actually rose from the grave, from the dead. So these are some of the theories that they came up with because they have a problem with the resurrection. And the first theory that we see, it's actually in the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 to 15. This is a theory that says that Jesus' body was stolen by the disciples. The disciples came and they stole his body. That's what we read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 to 15. This is what it says in the word. Now, while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests and all to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled, that is the religious people of the day, when they assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, this is what they told them to say, and this is a lie, you are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. And they took the money and did as he had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. And it is to this day, this very day. Some people are saying that the tomb is empty because the disciples stole the body. But that's false, because the disciples were so scared when Jesus was crucified, they ran for their lives. So it was not possible for them to go and steal the body. In fact, they wanted to go as far away from the tomb of Jesus as possible, so they could not have stole the body from the tomb. But people still believe that, even today. The second theory, which is false, says that Jesus Christ never died. He never died. Maybe he was beaten, maybe he had a near-death experience, but he never died, and so he did not rise, but he swooned, S-W-O-O-N, the swoon theory. He just came back from his sickness. He fainted. He didn't really die. The third false theory is that his body was relocated. Joseph of Arimathea, they say, on Friday night, came and took his body from the tomb and replaced his body in a criminal's tomb, another tomb. The relocated story. So the tomb is empty, not because Jesus Christ rose from the grave, but because Joseph of Arimathea came and took his body from the tomb where he was buried and placed it in another criminal's tomb. That's not true. The fourth false theory, and some of you might have heard this too, and some of you might have been convinced, but I want to convince you this morning that Jesus Christ actually rose from the grave. So notice the fourth false theory, that Jesus Christ did not really come back from the grave, but the disciples were hallucinating. That's a hallucination theory. That those who saw Jesus after his death and burial, they were actually hallucinating. They believed in their minds that this actually happened to him. They thought that they saw Jesus alive in their minds, but he did not really rise from the grave. The disciples believed that, but it didn't really happen. How can you refute this? Well, quite a number of people might have been hallucinating. Maybe there was a disease that was spreading at that time called hallucination, and everyone was catching that disease of being hallucinated. Because you know what? He appeared to many others. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the woman at the tomb. He appeared to the disciples, including Thomas, whom we call Doubting Thomas, who actually believed when he put his hand in the side of Jesus and he felt the scars, and he knew he was indeed risen from the dead. He appeared to the seven disciples at the Sea of Galilee. He appeared to 500 followers, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. He appeared to James, Jesus' half-brother. He appeared to 11 disciples in Acts chapter 1. So if all of these witnesses say that they saw Jesus Christ after he rose, and they all were hallucinating, then that's spectacular. That all of them were just dreaming up something. And you can see that this is absolutely hogwash. Thirdly, not thirdly, but number five, there are those who say that Jesus Christ did not rise bodily from the grave, that he rose spiritually. So the spiritual resurrection theory, that Christ's body, they say, decayed in the grave, it rot in the grave, but his real resurrection was spiritual. So Jesus Christ is actually a spirit in heaven. Doesn't have a body in heaven. Oh, but read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, speaking of our resurrection and the resurrection of Christ. It's a passage you should read today, because that's a classical passage on the resurrection. Because in chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians, it tells us that if Christ did not rise from the grave, then all that we're doing here this morning is just dust and ashes. It's absolutely nothing if Jesus Christ did not rise bodily. And then the last theory is the mystery religion theory. And that is a theory that says that Jesus' resurrection is not unusual, because there are many mystery religions where we learn of the dying and rising of the gods of those religions. It's a Gnostic concept. G-N-O-S-T-I-C. Gnostic. Maybe it's a nasty concept. And so they say that what happened to Jesus Christ is, that's normal. The gods of all religions, mystery religions, they die and rise. It's something that happened in every religion. I encountered a gentleman a few weeks ago, and I wouldn't say of what faith he belongs to, but in his particular belief system, they do not believe that Jesus actually died. And so this man said to me that every religion has a god that dies and rises. It's not unusual. That happens to all the mystery religions. They all speak about their gods dying and rising. So there is nothing unusual about the resurrection of Christ. That's not new. That's a tradition that is present in many religions. Right? You know, Osiris and Mithras, Adonis, Dionysus, all of these various mystery gods had the same experience, dying and rising. But that's not true. Why is it not true? Well, it is not true because here I come now to explain what resurrection is. And as I do this, let me tell you that Lazarus is coming back from the grave is not the same as the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. Why? Because Lazarus died again, a second time. So what is the resurrection? Well, let me say what the resurrection is not first. The resurrection is not simply coming back to life. The resurrection is not simply coming back from the grave. That's not resurrection. Resurrection is not resuscitation. And resurrection is not reincarnation. Resurrection is not that someone will come back into this world in a different form. Maybe as a bird, or some other animal or something else. There are some religions that do, some people that do believe that, believe in reincarnation. But it is not. Resurrection is not reincarnation. So what is resurrection? What is the meaning of resurrection? Well, resurrection is this. Resurrection is simply the life of the spirit in us. Resurrection is the giving of the life of God to us so that we can live and not die. That's what resurrection is. It is coming back to a life that is different to the kind of life that we experience in this life presently. So let me go a little further here. The life that we possess in this present age, this present world, is a life of mortality, a life of death, a life of sickness. We get tired, we get hungry, we get sick. We experience, as it were, the frailties of this life, because we are living in a fallen world and we are fallen people. We are descendants of Adam, and our lives are perishable, this life. There are some who lived yesterday and they're not here today. There are some who were very well yesterday, healthy and strong, and they are not healthy today. Why? Because this life that we possess is perishable because of sin. And that's the kind of life that we experience in this fallen creation, in this fallen terra firma, sadly. So resurrection life is different. Resurrection life is the life of a different world, the world of heaven, the world of God, the world of the angels who did not lose their first estate, the world of perfection, the world of eternal life, heaven's life. That's what resurrection is. When Jesus Christ came back from the grave, and notice that Jesus Christ actually died. Though he was God, he died. But then when he came back from the grave, he rose to a different kind of life. He rose to a life that is not of this world. And therefore, he was not able to get sick. I mean, Jesus Christ never got sick anyway before he died. We never read of him being sick. But when he rose from the grave, it was impossible for him to die a second time. In fact, Jesus Christ could not continue to live in this world after his resurrection. That's the reason why he must ascend back up to the Father, because the life that he possessed was not conducive to living in this world. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because if any of us here would rise from the grave and experience resurrection, we cannot live here anymore. We must go into God's presence. Because you will rise with a different body. You'll rise with a glorified body, an immortal body that cannot die, cannot experience the frailties of life. And that's the reason why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 it says that there are different kinds of bodies. And the Bible talks about the stars and the moon and all the different bodies that God created. And each of these different bodies were created to exist in a specific realm of God's creation. The bodies that we possess presently, we cannot live in heaven with these bodies. The Bible says that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the bodies that we have are limited. It's limited to this life and this life alone. And in fact, it's limited to this realm of creation. Can you live in Mars? Can you live on the moon? The sun? Can you live in outer space? No, we cannot, because our bodies were not meant to live in outer space, but to live here, to breathe oxygen and to breathe atmosphere here. But when resurrection comes, then we possess a glorified body and we can live in heaven, a heavenly spiritual body. That's resurrection. A body that cannot perish, a body that cannot die, one that lives on forever, a body that will be completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what the Bible talks about when it speaks about resurrection. When the Christian resurrects, our bodies will be totally and absolutely controlled by the Spirit. So, let's come to our text in John 11:25. And we see, first of all, that Jesus Christ makes a profound assertion about himself. And this is one of the seven assertions that he makes about himself in the Gospel of John. Let me just quickly look at those other assertions that he makes about himself in the Gospel of John. Turn with me. You don't have to turn, but you can listen. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And I want you to notice that after Jesus makes these assertions about himself, he says something about us, something that we ought to do. So what he says about himself is not about Jesus, but it's about for us. So when he says, "I am the bread of life," this is not for himself. So notice what he says in verse 35. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst." See that? He is the bread of life for us, not for himself. That's the first assertion. Notice the second one in John chapter 8 and verse 12. John 8, verse 12, Jesus said again, "I am the light of the world." Notice, it is for us that he is the light, not for himself. "I am the light of the world," he says. "He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's the second assertion. Notice the third assertion in John chapter 10, and verse 9. Notice he says, "I am the door." Not for himself. The door to heaven. Jesus says, "I am the door." John chapter 10, verse 9. "If anyone enters through me," he says, "he," may I add, or "she, will be saved. And will go in and out and find pastures." Find pasture, rather, singular. Notice the fourth assertion in John 10:11. "I am the good shepherd." What does a good shepherd do? not for himself again, but he's a good shepherd for us. Notice he says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. He says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's what Jesus says. I am the way. And without him, there is no way. I am the truth. Without him, there is no truth. I am the life. Without Christ, there is no life. And then John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. So these are six, but I want to look at the other one, number seven, the seventh, in John 11, 25. But before I get into it, I want to give you a warning, a very serious warning. Because if you hear these words, you have to make a decision to believe or not to believe. And if you hear these words and you don't believe, then you will have to answer to God. But if you hear these words and you do believe, then you will have eternal life. That's what John says. That's the reason why John talks about Jesus Christ, the I am. I am the bread of all the I ams that I just read here. Everything that he writes in this book, he writes for a specific purpose. You know why he writes this book? Let me tell you why. John 20, verse 30 and 31. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. Wouldn't have to look too far to find out why John wrote this gospel. John, who spent 3 years with Christ. John, who is known as the beloved disciple. He tells us that when we read the gospel of John and we read all these miracles, that we must make a decision to believe that he is the Son of God. And there are many miracles that he performed in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 11, he performed the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. But before Lazarus died, someone went to Jesus, who was far away from where Lazarus was, and they told Jesus that his friend Lazarus was sick. And Jesus purposely stayed away for his friend Lazarus to die. There are some Christians today who would immediately abandon faith in Christ if that happens to them. Because they would say, if he had really loved me, then he wouldn't allow my brother to die. He wouldn't allow my mother, my father, my daughter my friend to die. If he really loved me, then he would heal him right away. But you know what Jesus said, that Lazarus's sickness was for God's glory. That's what he says in John 11, verse 4. The sickness is not to the end, not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. So Jesus made his way to the home of Lazarus' family, and when he got there, there were many people who were mourning. And Jesus said to them to remove the stone away. And they didn't believe Jesus. They doubted him. Martha in particular, she believed in a resurrection. She believed that her brother will rise at some point. That's what she says in chapter 11, verse 24. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Martha is speaking here of a typical Jewish person, because the Jews believe that on the last day, there will be a resurrection. But the resurrection for them is future. It's going to happen on the last day, not before that. And so Jesus corrects her misunderstanding of the resurrection. And he said to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is standing right there before you, Martha. The resurrection is not something in the future. It's not so much an event. The resurrection is a person. That's what he says. I am the resurrection. And immediately you can see that Jesus Christ is declaring his divinity when he says, I am. Because this designation is reserved only for God in the Old Testament. You recall when Moses encountered God, and God said to Moses, my name is I am. Tell them I am had sent you. And Jesus now is saying that I am this God that Moses encountered. And this God has become flesh like us. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. And so he's standing before Martha and he says, I am the resurrection. And of course, Martha must have been stunned, because she learned from the Torah and from the Old Testament that resurrection is in the future. Where did she learn that? Well, there are passages in the Old Testament. One of those is Daniel chapter 12. Daniel says in verse 2, chapter 12, many of those asleep in the dust of the ground will awake, those to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. It is taught in the Old Testament that there is a resurrection. It is taught in Hosea chapter 13. Hosea is the book just after Daniel. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, shall I ransom them from the power of Shalom? Shall I redeem them from death? O death, where are your thorns? O Sheol, where is your sting? And Paul quotes that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there are many other passages in the Old Testament that confirm resurrection. The resurrection is a person. And so Jesus says, I am the resurrection. The resurrection that Martha was looking for, the resurrection that people today are looking for, is the one who rose from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection is not so much an event. The resurrection is a person. And if you have Jesus Christ in your heart today, then you are risen, spiritually speaking. You see, resurrection is not only bodily resurrection. Resurrection is also spiritual resurrection. What do I mean by that? We need, first of all, to be resurrected spiritually, because we are born in sin. We are all born dead, spiritually speaking. We cannot respond to God because we were born dead spiritually. That's the reason why people don't read the scriptures. That's the reason why people don't serve God naturally. That's the reason why when we are born, we don't naturally have this inclination towards God and desire Him. That's the reason why people can bomb churches and kill others. Because we are dead in trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And so when we come to Christ and we believe in Him, then He gives us spiritual resurrection. Our spirit comes alive. And each of us this morning has an invisible being, a spirit. You see, you are not just a body. I'm seeing your body right now. I'm seeing your faces, but I can't see your spirit. I can't see your soul. But you know what? It is your soul that gives your body life physically. And it is your spirit that gives you life. When the Spirit of God comes in you, He quickens you. He makes your spirit comes alive, and you're able to communicate with God, love Him, and serve Him. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be spiritually resurrected. And that's why Jesus says, I am the resurrection, because if you come to Christ and you receive Him, then you will be resurrected spiritually. You will have new life, eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So notice the promise that Jesus gives after He makes this assertion about Himself in John 11, our text, and verse 25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, Jesus is not saying two different things. He's not saying, I am the resurrection, and there is something else that is life. What He's actually saying here is that I am the resurrection, which is life. And then He gives a beautiful promise that only you and I can take personally. He says, he who believes in me will live, right? He or she who believes in me will live. Well, some people might be saying, well, I have never believed in Christ, but I am living. How is it possible? What is Jesus saying? Jesus is speaking to people who are alive, and He's saying, he who believes in me will live. Well, He's talking of spiritual resurrection, which I just mentioned. Spiritual resurrection comes only through faith in Christ. But then Jesus says also, he who believes in me will never die. Well, I know many who believed in Christ and they died. So how can Jesus say he who believes in Him will never die? There are many Christians, many who believe in Christ, who died. So what is He saying here? Well, again, He's speaking of spiritual death. Spiritual death. Spiritual death is separation from God. Physical death is when the spirit, our spirit, separates from our bodies, and our bodies are placed in the ground, or it is cremated, or whatever form of burial. and the spirit goes back to its maker, God. That's physical death. The separation of the body from the spirit. Spiritual death is separation from God. And Jesus says, if you believe in him, then you will be restored, you will be reconciled to God, and you will never be separated from him. If you continue believing in Christ, you will never die spiritually anymore. That's what he says. Jesus says, he who believes in me will live. He says, even if he dies. And that's the resurrection, the bodily resurrection. Christians die, but that's not the end of our existence. In fact, that's not the end of anyone's existence. Because we are eternal beings, eternal in the sense that, not in the sense that we existed before we were born, but we are beings that will live on and on and on, either in God's presence or away from his presence. So death is not the end. Even for those who die in a burning building, even those who may die in the ocean and a big fish may eat them up, God is going to restore the soul with a body. Everyone will come back, but some to eternal life in God's presence, and others separated from God eternally. Jesus says in verse 26, John 11, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die spiritually. And then there is a personal response. What are we going to do with this? Are we going to believe what Jesus says? Or turn our backs and say, this is not for me? You know, Jesus may be for you and for others. I don't need this, some might say. But Jesus asks the same question to us as he asked Martha. See verse 26. Do you believe this? Do you believe that if you believe in the one who is the resurrection, that you will have life, and when you die, you will rise again? Do you believe that you will live even when you die? That's what Jesus is asking. Do you believe this? We all should answer like Martha. See what she says in verse 27? Yes, Master. Yes, Lord. Yes, Adonai. I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. See? Martha's confession, she believed in the Messiah. She believed that Jesus was God's instrument of bringing salvation. That's what it means for him to be the Son of God, the one who carries out God's purpose of salvation in this world. No one else carries out God's salvation. It is only the Son of God. He is the instrument of God's divine purposes for us, for mankind. Oh, may on this resurrection day, this Easter day, that we would believe what Jesus says. And you know, he spoke those words before he died and rose again. He said, I am the resurrection. He died. And what happened? He rose again. So if Martha could respond, yes, Lord, And she did not live to see, maybe she did, his resurrection. We have a greater privilege, as it were, to believe in Christ, because we have the evidence right before us that Jesus Christ is not just blowing hot air when he says, I am the resurrection, but he's actually speaking facts, because it actually happened. How do we know it happened? The witnesses that saw him. The one who wrote this book, John, he saw him. So our response is to believe and keep on believing. And don't stop believing. All right, keep on believing in Christ. Keep on trusting in him, even in the midst of difficulties, which will come. Don't stop trusting in Christ. Because let me give you another warning as I close, that the Christian life is a difficult life. But you know what? You have one who has overcome with you. So don't give up, no matter what comes. But keep on trusting in him, trusting in him. And when you and I die, we also shall rise from the grave to be with him eternally, worshiping him, serving him for what he has created us to be. And that is to be with him. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you rest. Amen. Amen.